Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impart your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
We are coming to deal with the second required R for effective leadership. Resoluteness in a leader that makes him to provide effective leadership over the flock. And again, for our guide, we take few scriptures that would guide our thoughts onto this requirement that God looks for in men that He brings to bear leadership weight or leadership responsibility. The Lord Jesus Christ was making a very, very serious comment on the life of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist had executed the kind of ministry that God called him to do, and he had been cast into the prison because of what he stood for, he sent some of his disciples to come and ask Jesus a very pertinent question in Matthew 11. It was not his question that I want to consider. It was Jesus' commendation on John the Baptist that I sense we can begin with before we begin to draw issues. And I would like you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Verse 7, verse 7, up to verse 13. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing, they are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, I'm more than a prophet." For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent takes it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. I want to stop there. But before I begin to draw issues, I'll read some few passages. And as I do that, it will all tie together, since we don't want to spend too long a time before we release ourselves. Now, I want you to take the story that we refer to when our brother was, when the prof was bringing us on the matter of striking the balance. We referred briefly to the story of Daniel. I want you to see something briefly about Daniel as we go ahead. Daniel chapter 1. If you get to Daniel chapter 1. Are you in Daniel 1? Okay. Daniel chapter 1. Verse 5 down to verse 10. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Ananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Mesa, whom the prince of the eunuchs has set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove your servants, I beseech you, these 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before you, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servant. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Maybe I should read verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, Their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children who did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Mezah took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pause. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. May the Lord increase His word in our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's take another passage. I just want to read these few passages so that when I'm drawing issues, you will know where we are coming from and where we are going. I'm praying that the Lord will raise among us resolute leaders. Leaders of personal resolve that cannot easily sell out and that cannot easily chicken out. Men and women who are committed, who are resolved, no matter what it will cost them. I've just read Daniel. You will be seeing as I read others as they go ahead. I want you to follow me to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, because of space of time that I'm looking for. The Bible says, for Ezra, what has he done? He had done what? He had prepared his heart. Any other version? Please stand up and read so that they can hear you. He had done what? He set his heart. What do you want to read? He had determined. He had determined, he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He had prepared his heart. He had determined in his heart. He had set his heart. The resolute leader. Let's read one or two more scriptures before we begin our discussion. Turn to Genesis. We take another young man who eventually became a leader that God could commit great things to his hands. In the story, in Genesis 39, you meet the story of Joseph. Is that so? Turn there quickly. Because you know the story of Joseph, we will not read many verses. We just read few verses and we take it on. Verse 6. Verse 7. Verse 8. Up to verse 10. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not that this knows not what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Finally, would you like to read Hebrews? Two scriptures in Hebrews pointing at the Lord Jesus. And we shall then draw issues tonight. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. I want you to read verse 5. Verse 6. Verse 7. And verse 8. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure." Then said I, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do what? To do thy will, O God." Above, when it says sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hath pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then it said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, let you be wearied and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." The required resoluteness for a leader to provide effective leadership. When God is considering a man to handle eternal things, when God is considering what can he commit to a man's life, there are few parameters that God checks in that man's life. And one of those key parameters that God checks before he commits great things to any man's life is to see the stability of such a life in terms of personal conviction. personal conviction in a man's life determines what he can carry or what he can sell out. And every leader that God will want to engage, and if he will give him something eternal to carry for a long time, God wants to see how resolved, how resolute, in terms of conviction, in terms of personal commitment to the truth and to God, how trustworthy could this man be even in the face of a danger to his own life? We read several scriptures, and I deliberately want to give you a panoramic view of what I am trusting God to strike. There are several issues that I sense God wants to strike. The first dimension of resoluteness that God demands in a leader is a resoluteness against sin. Resoluteness against anything that stands between him and his God. Resoluteness. A personal resolve, whether in the light or in darkness, to stand against sin and anything that is sinful that could come between him and God. There are some people, listen, who will pretend to run away from sin because they are protecting their leadership position. God is not interested in such a man. There are some persons, it's not that they are resolved not to engage in secret sin, but they could manage not to be involved in sin when it is public because it will spoil their leadership opportunity. We are not talking of such people. We are not talking of people who run away from sin because they don't want to be put away from leadership position. Which means, if they could commit sin and nobody will know about it, and it will not threaten their leadership position, they can as well do what? Engage in it. The man that will carry leadership mantle, and God will be willing to throw his weight behind him for a long time, is a man who is resolved to let nothing stand between him and God, no matter the cost. The This man I'm talking about, he is persuaded, and he does not need anybody to persuade him not to sin. He's persuaded. He does not need supervision. He does not need supervision in order to live right. Even when no one is there to check on him, he is resolved to honor God, not because of the presence of fellowship members, but because he loves God. The Bible spoke of Jesus in Psalm 45 and in Hebrews chapter 1. I didn't read that because I wanted to talk about how he arrived at it. But the scripture said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is what? Is the scepter of righteousness. Why? Thou lovest what? Righteousness. Thou lovest righteousness. And what? Hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you above all your fellows." Listen. Thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. He hated wickedness. I'm going to ask you, how many people, how many of you honestly love righteousness and hated iniquity? You hate iniquity not because of fear of going to hell, not because of fear of losing your face in the presence of people, not for the fear of being discredited. But you hated iniquity because you hate iniquity. You have sat down to value what is sin. What benefit will iniquity bring to my life? And you have concluded that there is nothing that sin will add to your life except a damage. And for that reason, you hated it. You hated iniquity not because there is no opportunity to practice it. Oh my God, am I communicating with you? There are some people that are holy, so called, because of environmental holiness. When our brother was reading the scripture this morning, and he came on 1 Samuel 21, and they came to the priest and they wanted to eat the hallowed bread. You remember? And the priest said, "No, I don't have a common bread under my hand except the show bread, the bread of the presence. And I cannot give it to you unless you have sanctified yourself, at least from women." As if to say, the least consecration anybody could have, the least, is to keep himself from immorality. You're not hearing me at all. When you keep yourself from immorality, some of you are thinking that's a high consecration. No. What did the Bible call it? It's the least.
So when you keep having issues with immorality, with sexual sin, heaven has not considered you as having started at all. You know why? Anybody that has no resolution of keeping his vessel in sanctification and honor, listen, there's nothing that person cannot sell out. When you have any man who cannot keep himself, who can easily fall on the lap of a strange girl, there is nothing that man cannot sell out. There have been great preachers with wonderful ministries, and they look as if the work is growing under their hands, but there is this least prerequisite consecration that they did not take care of. Where are they today? They are finished. Unfortunately, the matter of immorality, the matter of sexual sin, has been so relaxed in our fellowships, in the church, among supposed Christian leaders, and it's as if it does not really, really matter. May I inform you? When a man is not resolute enough, at least with women or with men, God does not regard him more than a piece of bread. And heaven does not have hope in him. God knows that he will soon go. But do you remember that David said, thy servant, in a sense, he used the word in a sense, have been holy. We have been sanctified for the past 3 days. Do you know the reason what he said? Who knows the reason from that passage? What did he say? He said, because women have been kept from us. Not that we kept ourselves from women. Did you understand that? It's not that we overcame all. It's that there is these cats that have been kept in the cage, so rats are free to move about. When rat is moving like this, the cat in the cage, you know, you want to come back. Are you the cat in the cage? Are you simply holy because women have been kept away from you? Let me tell you where the problem is. When you grow in leadership, if you are not resolved to let nothing come between you and God, I tell you what will happen. The more you grow in leadership, the more the anointing seems to settle on your life, the more people who used to be very careful about you, the more they will relax. The more they will feel this brother is what? Is not injurious. Imagine, as a sister, if a young convert who has just been delivered from womanizing invites you to come and pray with him in his room, 7 p.m., will you go there? Why will you not go there, sister? Say, it's dangerous. We don't know him. But if the president of your fellowship, who has been preaching and your life has been really blessed, he says, Sister Nkechi, I just sense that there is a need for us just to pray. There's a burden that the Spirit is asking us to discharge. Let me ask you, Sister Nkechi, what will you do? You go freely? Why will you go freely? Anointing as loosing your guard. When a man grows in leadership, he dismantles people's guard against him. Things they would have done as a precaution, they lose their guard. They say, thank God, he is not dangerous. If the brother, the president, offers you his hand to shake you, what will you do? Talk to me, sister. You shake him because you believe that he's a man of God. We are asked, when it is the other one that we are still watching, if you want to shake you, say, thank you. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. You will hide your hand very well. But the brother who is president, he offers his hand, you hold it. And sometimes he may decide to make that handshake special. I said, just anyone I touch surely must be blessed. Anyone I touch, my hands are filled with the blessings of God. Let me just pray for you again. Let me just pray for you. Will you ever suspect? Leadership brings a man to a place where people no longer suspect him. So if he does not have a personal resoluteness to let nothing like sin come between him and God, he can easily be digging into sinful behavior and no one will suspect him as to check him up. As we are sitting here, if the president of your fellowship were just to invite you and say, sister, there's a burden that God, in fact, I try to discharge it, I just don't know. I have cast out several other burdens, but this one just refused to go. I subjected it to all the 7 spiritual tests. You know? And I check it at the 7 level of spiritual tests. and it just didn't budge. Well, reluctantly, I told God, well, if you are compelling me to say this, then in obedience, you are sitting down there wondering where the man of God is going to land. This actually, I did not even think that someone like you could fit into this great opportunity. Because according to the call of God on my life that I've been nurturing for the past 5 years, I know that any woman that will fit into that kind of call has to be special. But here am I, under the compulsion of the Spirit, I found myself having to talk to you. Thou were favored, sister. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding. And get back to me when you have an understanding of it. But let me just tell you that it's taken me a great humility to be able to say this kind of thing to you. If it was another brother that came and spoke so arrogantly about his importance in proposing a marriage to you, what would you say, sister? I beg, go get out, get out. What do you mean by that? For now, it is the president. It's your president. And he has spoken such a lofty language. What are you going to do? Your yes is almost ready, I'm telling you. Your yes is almost ready. Say, talk, Lord. Because you are likely to marry the anointing rather than the man. So if you are not resolved not to cheat people, not to manipulate, not to take advantage of the vulnerability of those who have lost their guard because they think you're a man of God. And what I'm dealing with here, if it is not a personal resoluteness, leadership does not allow you to be exposed to any further instruction. The reason why many leaders may go to hell is that leadership isolates them, unfortunately, from teaching, from instruction. Even when people are preaching seriously. For example, if the Bible study secretary is speaking in the fellowship, you give him a chance to lead the Bible study and give us a general summary. And he's speaking and speaking and saying, repent, every one of you here. In his heart, is he expecting the president to respond? If the president happened to stand up, will he think that he is standing up for repentance? What is he likely to do? Likely to say yes. Even let's just call Papa. Let's just call Papa to come and help us land us this prayer. You see, that's the problem. Leadership insulates you from correct circumcision if you are not resolved to let nothing between. For Jesus, he loved righteousness.
He hated iniquity, even when it is very appealing. Let's read the Bible very quickly. Just wanted to read one scripture, but I want it in Amplified Bible. Hebrews chapter 5. Quickly, please. Hebrews 5, verse 7. Who is reading for us? In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up what? Definite special petitions for that which he not only wanted, but he needed. Look at Jesus. So he cried with supplications, with strong crying and tears to him who. And he was heard. God heard him. Because of his reverence towards God, his godly fear, his piety, his strength. Jesus shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of God. Jesus, he feared what sin will do to him. When the Bible says he shrank, the implication, he hated iniquity because he hated it. He knew the horror of losing the presence of God even for one day. Are you a leader who is resolute not to allow sin to come between you and the Savior? At least the sin that has to do with women and has to do with men. I draw that word tonight by saying, at least I found that consecration against immorality is the least you can keep to be in the kingdom. Samson was a great man of God. Abi? Nobody could dismantle Samson. Nobody. They couldn't just know the secret of his power. Philistines are giants as they were. He slaughtered them like nothing. But as he began to break his Nazarite consecration to God, as he began to sleep about, until he found himself on those dangerous lap of Delilah, it was finished. All that he could have done for God, finished. All that heaven wanted to harvest from his life, scattered. Because he had no personal resoluteness. You see, I didn't use the word resolution. It's not resolution I'm talking about. I'm talking about what? Resoluteness. Resoluteness is a lifestyle. It's more than one activity. Resoluteness is a determination of the heart beyond which I cannot go.
Did you resolve to let nothing come between you and the Savior? Did you resolve that anything, self or friends, pride or station, this world's delusive dream, have you resolved that they will have no space in your life? So that the days ahead of you, in which God is considering you for a great space, He might keep it. Or are you this brother that in 2 years you have violated 3 sisters, and it didn't mean much to you? You have a way of crying with crocodile tears and shaking your body and continuing to preach. Are you such a person that would like to twist the scripture in order to accommodate your internal deficiency? Are you such a man who pampers yourself and for a mask you appear to be very strict on others? As I'm looking through this scripture, I'm looking at this second requirement for effective leadership: resoluteness. But my first approach to this matter of resoluteness is resoluteness against sin, against sinful habits, against secret sin, unsupervised resoluteness to walk with God. Why am I bringing this to you? Is because I have great hope of what God will do with you in the coming days. Why am I saying this to you when this is not a general emphasis again? Why do I need to confront you with this at this point of your life when everywhere else you went? Sin had been discussed as if it doesn't matter. I confront you with this because if you hope to last, who want to last in the purpose of God? Let me see your hand up. You want to last and last for a long time by the grace of God. Eh? This is important. This is critical. The Bible says, as for Jesus, in the days of his flesh, and that touched me a lot, it has touched me so much, that in the days of his own flesh, in which day am I living now? These are the days of my own flesh. He was tempted at every point. There was no manner of temptation that did not come to Jesus. Satan wanted to finish him with strong cries and tears to God who is able to help him, because he shrank from the horror of losing the bright presence of God, even for one day. You want to be in leadership, the kind that God can commit eternal things to. Thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. If I moved away from the matter of sin that separates a man quietly from the presence of God. And I tell you, brothers, I want to tell you something. You see, when you become a leader and people have trusted you, they have opened their heart to you, it will take your personal resolve to keep your private relationship with God intact. Because even if it is dismantled, there will still be enough fire to keep ironing some handkerchiefs. You know, when you have plugged your electric iron, and suddenly it was unplugged, do you know that the heat will not finish at the moment, will it? You can still iron some clothes, and gradually as the fire is going, you will still be able to straighten some handkerchiefs. And then you will add a little more strength to be doing like this, because the thing is unplugged. The danger is this. Even when your inner life has scattered with God, you can still sustain a fellowship for 1 year. You don't understand. You can still preach a message. You can still organize a meeting, and the Spirit will seem to be working. You are deceived. So if it is not your personal resoluteness to insist on an unbroken relationship with God, not necessarily supervised by anybody, your leadership can become fake. So I saw men who resolved. Now I saw a Daniel who resolved in his heart not to do what? Not to defile himself with what the kings are eating. Listen, what they are eating was the normal ration, paid for. But this brother said, the relationship I want to maintain with my God will not allow me to be eating with my two hands the king's meat. I will not eat it. It might look little to you, but it's not. I understand it so much. Because I knew what it meant. The battle we used to have on Sundays in our fellowship in those days, because on Sunday in our time, not your time, when we were on campus, Sunday afternoon, we went to the cafeteria, we ate meals that we paid is 70 kobo. 20 kobo in the morning, 25 kobo in the afternoon, 25 kobo in the night. And you went into the cafeteria to eat anything you like. Uncountable cups of tea. Sugar is left here for anything you want to carry. Milk is in a tank. But on Sunday afternoon, jollof rice with fried chicken. Every student must have chicken. I'm not talking of wing, I'm talking of legs. Listen. But on that Sunday, we went for village evangelism.
And sometimes we never came back to the campus until 4 p.m. when the cafeteria will have closed. And once a while, did I say once a while? All the while, the brothers and sisters that I'm carrying to the village to go and praise the Lord, when are we coming back? I missed my chicken last week. If we can't get back here by 1, I'm not going. I knew what it meant for this man for 3 years to decide all the chicken, all the turkey, everything that they are eating, I'm not going to eat in order to keep myself. Resoluteness for personal consecration. You will be wondering why I'm bringing this as a prerequisite for effective leadership. It's because once a leader loses his own personal resoluteness as a lifestyle, no one is in the fellowship to enforce it for you. Since you became president, let me see all the presidents here again. Let's just wave your hand to me again. Since you became president of your fellowship, has anybody in the fellowship walked up to you and said, "Bro, did you have your quiet time today? Please talk to me quickly." Eh? No. Leadership has already exonerated you from supervision. So whatever you did not resolve personally to do and to keep up, nobody is outside to impose it on you anymore. You are of age. Do you know how possible it is for you to skip your quiet time for days and still keep going? You've not had your quiet time for days. And a sister came and said, "Bro, I just need you to pray for me." And then you shake your head, empty head, and say, "Karabo Sanda Baba." It's only that sister did not know that these are empty tongues. That heaven are saying, "Where is he coming from? It's 2 weeks ago we have not seen him here. What is he shouting about?" You don't understand. If you did not resolve to maintain an unbroken communion with God, leadership will exonerate you from any supervision. You can get rotten inside the ESCO. You can. You can find yourself sleeping, oversleeping, and people will think you are praying. Eh? I'm telling you, that's the truth. I told you one time I traveled somewhere to Jalingo to go and preach. And traveling from here in a public transport, they squeezed all of us. By the time we were getting to Jalingo that evening, I was tired. And as I landed, our brother who is hosting me in his house with his wife, they know that I love Kunu. And they know that when they get me special Nunu, so they went and get me Kindirimu. Very chilled. He says, "Sir, uncle, we know you would like this." I said, "Get it." And they brought it and I drank. 5 minutes, I was gone. Are you hearing me? I slept from 5 p.m. Some minutes to 5. And the meeting was to start around 5:30. The man of God has slept. And I slept from that time until after 8, almost 8:30. They were singing and clapping in the fellowship, waiting for the man of God. Then they came to check. They came to, and you know, they were so careful not to bang on the door because they don't want to disturb my prayer. So when they got me of this, they said, "Sir, we are waiting." I said, "For what?" I thought it was 8:30 in the morning. I said, "As the meeting started, I thought it was just 8:30. They said, "We've been waiting since after 5. You know, we had a meeting to preach this night." I said, "This night?" I was still thinking that it was morning. They said, "We are waiting." And I just jumped up. And I did my face like this. And I wore my dress. And I got some little shake off like that. And I went by the grace of God to the pulpit. And I gave a message. And come and see hundreds of souls that were crying. And they were coming to God. What does that say to me as a person? That sometimes God works not because you have prayed. God works because He honors His word and He honors His name. Fear gripped me. I say, "God, and you walked." And all of them are looking at me as if I have been on the mount. They did not know that I had been sleeping cool. Such things are possible. So if you did not have a personal resoluteness to pursue God, even ministry may never reveal your emptiness. So when that man said he determined, he proposed in his heart to seek the law, to study it, and to practice it, and then to teach it. Do you know that if you did not resolve to keep turning to the Bible every day for personal fresh revelation, you have enough Bible in your head that you can preach for another 3 years. And people will not know that you are only doing microwave. So many, many people that are in leadership, once leadership garment came on their life, they dismantled their personal resoluteness to follow God. And when you no longer pursue God as a personal conviction, leadership does not impose it on you. Eventually, you will become an empty, vague talkative who has no freshness to release life to those that are following you. I know it. I know that if I don't have my quiet time, none of you will know. None of you is bold to come and say, Bragwili, where did you read this morning? Fear will grip you. Not only the fear of God, even fear of me will grip you. Who are you? Who are you? And even if you are bold and you came, if I was not going to humble myself, I have enough Bible passage to do what? To deal with you, to deal with you. You will forever regret that you came near the man of God to say that kind of thing. In fact, you will come back 20 times to repent. That's what leaders can do. They can intimidate you. They can silence genuine voices. They can make you to lose even your confidence in speaking something that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. They have that capacity. If a man is not resolved to walk with God, leadership is the shortest cut to hell. Tonight, because I am looking at the short space of time and I want to rest, I just want to ask you, is a requirement that must be personal, must be intrinsic to you. It must be your resolve. For Daniel, he resolved in his heart, I will not. And for the next 3 years, others were eating chicken, eating turkey, eating pigs, eating all kind of meats. Assorted drinks. And he would simply go to his own special diet. And they gave him ordinary beans. He ate and drank water and he went away. So when God saw a man like that and decided to give him an excellent spirit and decided to advance him above all the princes in Babylon, and decided to make him a leader over 4 different regimes of Babylonian government. And when God looked at him, and angels looked at him and said, a man dearly beloved. A man that angels have to go and fight in order to release his prayers. A man who writes far, far back, many hundreds of years before Jesus came, had a clear vision of the end time. Why? He resolved. Resoluteness to uphold the truth. That's the next dimension. Resoluteness not to corrupt the doctrine, not to short measure the word of God for personal advantage, not to seek to be in the good books of certain people by reducing the word of God. They were resolved to uphold the truth at the expense of their own lives. When God sees a man who rather prefers to die than compromise the word of God, that's a man that God can facilitate into greater leadership. They will not reduce the truth in order to admit more members. They will not readjust the word of God in order to get money from some big men. They prefer to go hungry, they prefer to trek, than short measure the word of God. They resolved to uphold the truth and to maintain the purity of the doctrine of our God at the expense of their lives. It is such resoluteness. But I want you to keep noting that I'm first dealing with their own personal resolve in their lives. They are not first imposing it on people when they have not acted. They are not necessarily legalistic by saying, this is what you people must do. No. You are free to do whatever you. I cannot. I read a tract many years ago. Others may, I cannot. Others may. When I came, it was a very small tract. This was the original tract that I touched. I think it was a foreign tract. It's very small, not big. It's not what Brother Kumuyi finally wrote some years ago later on. That's different. This one is very short. I didn't know how I stumbled on it. Others may, I cannot. Personal resoluteness of a leader or of a man who is preparing for God to use him. Others may. It may not be wrong for others to go that way. It may not be wrong for them to wear their dress the way they are wearing it. It may not be wrong for them to preach the way they are preaching. But I cannot. I'm going somewhere with God. I cannot. Others may chicken out. I cannot. I'm talking of this personal resoluteness that does not first begin with committee meeting. He's not saying, let us. No. You can do your own. I cannot. You can go. I cannot. But when a leader has such a lifestyle of personal resoluteness, you know the result? Is a man of conviction. Is a man that carries a life that maintains a relationship with God that others can now follow because that is his own life. That is his own life. I'm going to ask you for tonight to check whether you want to be such a brother, whether you want to be such a sister. The reason is because the generation, your own generation, listen now, your own generation, I just want you to understand with me that your generation is different from the one I grew in. You see, in our own generation, there's more community. There's more communal living. The spirit of independence has not so much caught up with us as it has caught up with you now. And if you are not personally resolved to walk with God, you can be lost in the midst of everybody saying, let everybody mind his private space. I tell you two things. Can I tell you? You want me to tell you? In my own days, when we were like you, there are cinema houses that people go where they watch blue films, movies, pornography or whatever. So, those of us that are Christians that time, there's a boundary that have been physicalized that you dare not go. If we see a sister going towards cinema, maybe in one day, 10 brethren will call her and say, ah, Sister Yinka, ah, Emma Tingpenye Daniel, you are backsliding. I saw you going towards cinema. What are you going there for? Are you not a child of God? Even the fact that many people will say, why are you doing that? It curbed us and kept us subdued for a little while. But your own generation is different. Do you know that as you are sitting here, if there is internet connection, you can go on the net while I'm talking here. Eh? You can go to YouTube and you click and you're already in a terrible cinema hall on your palm. You suddenly become quiet. You no longer need the fellowship of the brethren because you are in another fellowship. Eh? And do you know that that thing can engage you? You won't know that time has gone. 2 hours you are there. And people may think that you are sleeping. But you are not sleeping. You have gone for cinema. In our own days, nothing like that. If the devil is tempting you, you have to dress up and go somewhere. But now, your temptation is different. You don't need to stand up. You don't need to dress up. Am I communicating? You don't need to do anything right there. Your temptation is serious. That you can be preparing for a message. And you are there. Chatting. Or pinging. And because now, not only is that you can do all of that, you can Skype. And only God can tell what people Skype to themselves. So, if you don't have a personal resoluteness to be correct, even the community will not know that you are lost. And you may have entered into such issues that it will not even show that you have gone. It will just look as if you have been correct, but you are gone. And pastors are gone.
I finished preaching a message one day and a pastor ran out. Say, brother, be there. This answer. I don't want it again. I don't want it again. I say, what is the problem? He said, that's my problem. What's the problem, sir? He said he started by texting. Texted a sister, and so the discussion went on until it went into immorality. You know, if somebody is going to the house of a harlot in our own time, we know that this woman is a harlot. This woman is a harlot. Anybody who is going there, we say, we saw you. We saw you there in the environment of that place. 7 p.m., what are you doing there? But this is not needed again. It's not needed again. Friends, to be a leader that carries the light and carries the power of God and is ready to lead others effectively unto the fullness of the purpose of God for their lives in the coming days, you need more than environmental resolution. You need more than general communal agreements. You need something else in your spirit. You need to say, God, I want to walk with you. Because the devil is engaging technology, is making it so cheap to do his activities nowadays. Am I communicating with somebody? This is the second R that I sense I must present to you as men and women who will become hands and instruments for the coming move of God on your campuses and beyond. So tonight, I will request you to check, are you resolved? Are you personally resolved to live right? Where nobody is supervising you? Are you resolved to search the scripture in these days of modernism? In these days that pastors divorce their wives and they are still preaching tough, and they are marrying, they are not even marrying privately, they are again doing church wedding. And it's looking as if that's what the Bible said. No, if you did not resolve to search scripture, we're in the days when the love of many as was cold. We have come at that time when men love pleasure more than God. You have arrived at that time when even you, ordinary you, as ordinary president of a fellowship, you are living like a king. I hope sisters are not the one washing your clothes for you. You so preach that sisters that are your classmates, your age mates, they have been hypnotized to be servicing your foolishness. And then you are so bold, you walk out, you speak so bogus. It takes people like us, whom you cannot bamboos. There's nothing you are doing that can bamboos us. You just say, killing bembe. There's nothing there. We were there before. But for ignorant people,
They so fear you that you are making empty statements and everybody is shivering. It takes personal resoluteness under God to choose to be correct. Brother John the Baptist, even when they were to cut off his head, he resolved to keep shining the light. Will you be one of such? I'm asking a question tonight. Will you want to be a man in God's hand who is not waiting for external supervision to live right, to walk right, to study the Word of God, to keep a safe distance from iniquity, and to serve God selflessly? Are you a leader? And the Holy Spirit is saying, if you do well, I will take you onto higher ground. These are issues I thought we should present to you, that as you are going from this point, it must become a turnaround in your pursuit of God, so that we can hear of you in days to come. May the Lord bless you. So I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. Jesus is saying all of this because of the great hope, the great vision, the great expectation of God over your life and over your generation and over the campuses. Joseph said, How can I do this great wickedness against God? And you know, that personal resoluteness landed him in prison for 13 years, but he did not mind. Men who prefer to go to prison for years than compromise their faith. Can God find such men in our midst again? Such sisters, where are they? Where are you to say, oh God, secret defeat, secret compromise, I want to let go. I want to lay my life down right now. The situation, the generation in which you find yourself, who is going to say, Lord, take my life. Let's pray. Cry to God for yourself this night and say, Father, you brought me into this meeting because there's a future you have for me. There's a future you want me to go for. Whatever the enemy has dug around your life, you are saying, oh God, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to walk with God. I have decided it is not in the power of the flesh. The Holy Spirit is here to empower you for this resoluteness. We die with resourcefulness. The resources of your own life. That's the only thing men could gather from your life. Nobody can gather from you what you are not inside. Oh my God, have your way in my life from today. There's no rest. There is no peace until the Lord has his way. I place my life in your hand. Rest secured in your plans. Oh my God. Oh my God.
have your way.
The resoluteness of a leader.
The resoluteness to follow God at whatever cost.
Holy Spirit, I pray that you walk in our midst.
Father, come and walk in our midst.
Lord, have your way with me. In Jesus' name, we are praying.
Listen, my brother.
It's not a big thing to get addicted.
Is it true that you really, really, really love righteousness or hate iniquity? Is it just that you are only keeping yourself because you don't want scandal? But when you think nobody will see, there's no restraint from going down. There's an opportunity to lay that matter before God in this prayer. They said, at least I see the matter of immorality as the matter that God said, look, this is the least. As we are praying. And I want to leave you. Please hear me. Jesus is standing in our midst tonight. He said, I have a plan for you. He said, I know the thoughts that I think for you. I would not have brought you here. Leadership was already isolating you from serious instructions. Are you hearing the Holy Spirit say, take advantage. Rebuild your broken altar. Reconfirm your personal consecration that has started to break down. All those who are saying, oh God, that thing is creeping into my life, it must stop. I don't need any community supervision. I need a resoluteness in my spirit. While we are praying, just step out before God. This is not something anybody needs to push you about. You know it. Just step out and say, God, that plan you have for my life, it must not be jeopardized. Are you in a secret pact with one of the leaders? They are saying, if I open up, the fellowship will scatter. Who told you? Do you not know that the Bible says, whosoever covereth his sin will not prosper. He will not progress. He will not go far. But whosoever confesses and forsakes, he will obtain mercy.
Please put that hand, lift it above your head. You are in a situation that if God does not grab this hand and hold you and keep you, there are so much trap that the enemy is digging just to bastardize leadership. Look at how many fellowships is on our campuses, and yet there's no righteousness on campus. Plead with God, take my hand. Purge my life. Make me an instrument of change. Make me a practical instrument in your hand, oh God.
perceptible corruption. This imperceptible compromise. Take my hand, O God. Get to the root of my need.
In Jesus' name, we are praying. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, that outpouring that has been scattered, that freshness of the power that has been lost, let there be restoration tonight. Your head shall receive the dove afresh. Thank you, Father. Every help you need, every cancer you need, Father, you will provide it. This meeting must mark a turnaround, a turning point for life in the name of Jesus. Thank you for hearing our prayer. As we rise into victory. We rise to fulfill our destiny. Satan, you have done so much. But the Lord has arisen tonight. He will crush your head under our feet shortly in the name of Jesus. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we have prayed.